Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I'm faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too-good-to-be-true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. The man I have as a guest on the show today needs no formal introduction. My husband, man of my dreams, best friend, and quarantine partner in no crime whatsoever. Dennis Schoneveld!
Hey ho!
Hey! Were you just calling me a ho?
No, hey ho.
That's no way to start off a podcast episode.
I'm not calling you a hoe. It's just a saying. Or hey, yo. I don't know what the young people are saying these days.
I don't think they're saying hey, yo.
But before we get too deep into this, when you say I'm the man of your dreams, did you have a nightmare or was it more of a positive thing?
I had a weird dream again. I've been having a lot of pregnancy dreams lately, a lot of them involving Olivia.
Am I included in these dreams?
Yeah, it's like I had two dreams that I was pregnant, but you were kind of in the periphery. It was more about Olivia being at the center of everything. So I think I'm dreaming about Olivia's pregnancy.
Oh, not your pregnancy.
No, I mean, I'm dreaming about mine, but I think it means Olivia's pregnancy.
So you're pregnant in Olivia's body.
I'm pregnant in the dream, but it's mostly to tell Olivia things about birth. It's weird. Yeah.
So you want to control her pregnancy?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I really don't know what's going on. She's super pregnant though, so I'm thinking about her a lot. We are not super pregnant.
We are not.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know. Mixed feelings. Hmm? I'm very happy at the stage of in life we are now with a 3-year-old. She can communicate very well. She's easier going. We can leave her with people.
We can also leave her alone. I feel like we do that all the time.
Well, alone at home with us, but yeah. But at the same time, I would love to have a little boy to do sports with.
You choose the podcast to have this conversation with me? What? Did you have a dream? Is this it?
No, I dreamt about Corona, actually.
Really?
Because of the whole... For people that doesn't know out there, shit hit the fan in Aruba for the last 2 days. But we can get into that later in the talk, I guess.
And your dream was about Corona, but not relating to having a little boy to teach sports. First of all, can we back up a little bit?
Yeah.
Wanting to have a boy so you can teach him sports, that sounds very, very sexist.
It is. I'm sorry. It is, but...
Why wouldn't you be able to teach Leia Luna sports?
I tried, man. I'm giving up on her.
You can't give up on her. She's 3 years old.
What's the return policy on her?
There's no return policy on her. Oh my God, someone sent me via Instagram yesterday like a screenshot from an archived old story of mine saying this was the funniest thing I saw all of last year. And I was like, and I opened it and it's a photo of us traveling somewhere. She's sitting in the window seat and you're in the middle. And then the caption that I put in the story was, this is the moment the stewardess came to tell everyone to put their seatbelts on. And then it said, hey, yeah, I know she has to go under the seat and proceeded to try to put her under the seat. because that's the kind of dad you are. And it's really funny, but I don't think this conversation about sports and girls is funny.
I agree. It's just about the personality. And right now, Leia doesn't want to learn how to bike. She's a little afraid of waves. She's also 3 years old.
She's also 3 years old.
I have to wait a little longer, I guess.
She doesn't have a water. I mean, dude, she's like super athletic in terms of water.
Yeah, but she's afraid of waves. I think she inherited that of you.
I think you haven't spent enough time in the ocean surfing with her.
Maybe.
It could be something about when she was like a year and a half and you pushed her into a long, long wave and let her go. Do you remember
But that? She stood up.
Yeah, but do you remember that? Yeah. You like traumatized her on the surfboard.
But going back on the gender specific thing, I always wanted a boy and a girl, if you want to go back into that.
Yeah, because people ask, it's the number one question we get for anything. So we had some big news this week. Was it this week? Last week? We released our new food company.
We announced.
We have a new food brand that is called Family Foods. Family with a Swedish A, which makes me really happy. And if you look at the logo of Family Foods, there's a little moon hiding in the D, which I love. And we're going to be producing some really frickin' amazing plant-based, gluten-free, super healthy, no additives, no fillers, no coloring, which is really hard to find. Easy to make foods.
Good in protein.
And high in protein. We're very, very excited about that. But when I shared for the announcement of the brand, like the brand name, we have some big news coming at noon. You know, stay tuned. So many people wrote like, oh my God, it's baby number two. It's baby number two.
Including my mom.
Including your mom. Just because the day before or something, I had said, hey, when is Oma coming over to play? Like, we haven't seen her in a while. And then I announced that we have some news. And then Dennis's mom called Dennis, panicking that we were pregnant and she was going to find out via social media. But no, we had to kind of do the disclaimer, like, not pregnant. I don't know how I feel about it now, because I felt like there was so much pressure that if you want to have a second kid, you have to do it immediately. And for us, that just wasn't a possibility. I think if we would have had another kid, we would be like getting divorced or something. Like, we were just not in a good place.
It would be very hard.
I was in a bad place personally. I mean, it wasn't meant to be time-wise, I think.
I guess not.
No. And then, you know, we have friends who have like 5-6-year-olds who are considering having babies now. But I feel like in society, the general consensus is you have to have them like close together or no go. But that's not the case. Doesn't have to be no go. It can be some go.
I just don't want to
wait. A little baby.
I don't want to wait 18, 19 years again. Like, I want to have
freedom.
I need to have my freedom. I need them to get out of the house and I need to put on my backpack and go hike on Kilimanjaro or something. I don't know.
Okay, wait. There's a lot of stuff in there. I feel like I have to dissect. You want to go backpack Kilimanjaro? What?
I don't. I want to have that option too.
You want to have the option to. You have the option to do it right now. We're not coming with you, but you can go anytime.
Oh, hell no.
You don't want to. You couldn't. You cannot climb a mountain. Come on.
I guess my fear is I have a younger, my closest sibling to me in age is 9 years or 10 years younger than me, 9 and a half. And then the closest sibling after that is another 10 years. So I really don't want to, she's a young grandma, but she also has a 13-year-old. So she doesn't have the opportunity to be the grandma that she would have been if she had older kids.
He's 14, by the way. Your brother.
Or 14? Mm-hmm. Okay, he's 14. But anyway, just like your dad, you want your dad to be a granddad so bad, but he has three kids of his own and two of them, one is younger.
The man has seven children and one is like 10
months. Yeah, but
old.
I mean three toddlers now.
Yeah, or babies, yeah.
So you don't have that granddad.
Yeah, but that doesn't really impact us having a second. That's not really related to us having a second kid or not.
I don't what I was getting to. I don't want the age difference to be that big.
Yeah, but I think it depends on how you live. Like, I have 9 years between me and Katja, 10 years between me and Hedda, 12 years between me and Maya, and me and Emily, and we were super close because we grew up together in the same house under the same roof. I think for you, you're not as close with your siblings because some of them live in Holland. And then you basically moved out of your house when you were like 9 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's probably why. I mean, and if we would have, say we would get pregnant when she's like 4. So that's in a year.
And then she would be 5.
Oh, and she would be almost 5, no, which means like she wakes up, she makes all of her own breakfast.
She does her own taxes. She's like, she's like a self-cleaning oven by then. She's just like...
That's what you're hoping.
But I think that probably having space between kids, like there's some relief in that, you know?
Yeah. And in the beginning too, I feel like now we work a lot more together, like mm-hmm. especially with filming, and we always work together, but now there's like times that we both need to be like all hands on deck, especially in difficult times when we don't have these employees anymore. Mm-hmm. And I can't see us without like full on help. I can't see us like living how we're living right now or like working like we're working right now with another baby.
No, but I think the difference is now is that one, we're not doing all these programs and retreats and trainings, which was crazy. I would never do first year with a newborn like that ever again. So, I mean, if I were to get pregnant or when, if that happens, that I would take the entire first year completely off. Like I need to know that I'm not, you know, so you'll have to be the breadwinner and keep the ship kind of floating.
I can buy bread.
You can buy bread. You can win the bread.
I can.
Where does that term come from? It's a weird one.
Sounds like LA, California.
No, it's like an old... They don't eat bread in California. They don't... They're all fucking like... What's the word? Keto. What? Who is it that doesn't eat bread? Gluten-free people. Man, okay. But yeah, so let's see about that. I think doing it this time around, just in terms of the pace of our lives, the terms of... Like our lives are totally different. I think I would have a calmer pregnancy. I think I would be able to be more excited and grounded and chill about being just a stay-at-home mom. That's like the goal that I would have loved to have done with Loonies.
I would love to see that. I can bet a lot of money that it's going to be very hard for you.
Look, someone asked a question for like questions for this podcast.
You can't sit still.
I'm sitting still right now.
You're working. That's why.
This is me sitting still drinking coffee. What do you mean? No, someone asked like a question for you. Like, have you seen changes in Rachel in the past year or like throughout this year?
You are definitely more calm. You are definitely easier going, less maintenance. You're very high maintenance.
And now I'm not. Now I'm what? Medium maintenance?
Now you're like medium high.
Medium high. Okay.
But yeah, it's you're definitely you. It feels like you feel better.
I do feel better. I feel like everything is. I feel like a different person. I feel like we have different lives. I mean, obviously, everyone has different lives at the end of coronavirus. But I don't know. I think a lot of things have changed for the good. And the thought of having another kid right now would, I think, not be so terrible and daunting. But then I think about, you know, like going back to not sleeping, going back to having to push a 10-pound child out of my vagina. That was not so much, I mean, it was okay. It just wasn't so much fun the first time around.
But the second time around is easier, right?
I don't know. It's like, they say sometimes it is, but it just shoots out of there. Okay, let's see. Just for everyone, if or when we decide to get pregnant, like everyone can trust that when or if I would reach like a 13, 14 week mark, or maybe right away if we feel that like that, that we would share it with the world. Right. So everyone can stop asking. Okay, everyone can stop asking. And there is something important to that conversation too as well. I think being in this age and everybody asking you constantly when you're pregnant, if you're pregnant, are you going to have another baby? Not everybody can have another baby. Not everybody can have a baby in the first place. Not everybody wants a baby. And what if you and I were trying for the past like 2 years, like incessantly to get pregnant, but couldn't? Maybe we were doing IVF or like struggling with fertility. Then it would be super triggering to have to read.
I feel you would have told people.
Yeah, I would have because I'm that kind of person.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, I think, who struggle in that sense don't tell the world. And I think hearing that question all the time can be super triggering. So stop asking questions about people's bodies, I think, overall.
Do scents evoke memories and transport you back to being on the beach during your favorite vacation? I know they do for me. Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil smells like summer or the beach in Aruba, bottled with all natural uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. But it's not just about the elevated scent. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft. It delivers that coveted post-vacation glow, like you just returned from a tropical getaway. And right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. I love Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil. I use it every single day and I have for so many years. It makes me feel silky smooth and just glowing. This body oil is rich but never greasy and clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It visibly firms your skin, leaving you more sculpted and toned. No wonder I feel so great after using it. But it gets even better. With Osea, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Osea's products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. They are a women-founded company that has been making seaweed-infused skincare for over 28 years. So bring on summer. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skin and body care at Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off.
I didn't get any questions, but okay.
You don't get any questions about your body.
Well, yeah, but not about pregnancy.
Let's talk about your big controversial Instagram post from the other day. You had your biggest Instagram drama of your life, which I thought was
I didn't even care about it. You were more in it
you
than I
was.
You didn't even know. I didn't even read the comments.
He went from like, oh, there's like 15 comments on this post that he did. And then the next morning I check, I'm like, dude, you have 700 comments on here. You have to go and like look at what people are writing. So tell us what happened.
I went to pick up a package at FedEx. And to get into FedEx, I need to wear a mask or people to get in.
I thought you were at Bula.
No, I went to Bula afterwards, but that picture was taken in FedEx. So yeah, we went in, we needed a mask to get in. We had masks, like our friends from Tangerine gave us like mask.
Leia's for... Leia's godfather who makes, what's his word?
Sewer?
Sewer!
He works in a switch. He sews back.
makes bags. You would say like a seamstress, but that seems again like a sexist, like kind of, or like a gender-based word. What's the word for someone who sews? Like a man who
seamster.
He's a sewer. He works in sewage. Okay. Anyway, moving on. He makes masks and
he makes bags, and he started to make masks because of Corona, and then he gave us three when Leia's birthday because they were high in demand, and we're like, okay, we didn't think much of it.
We've never wore a mask
before that.
Before this, no.
But then we needed to get in, and I happened to have them in my car, and we put it on. She put it on. She was stoked. She was super happy, and she was like, "Look at me, look at me." So I took a picture of her, and that was it.
She kept saying she was a doctor.
Yeah,
I'm a doctor.
And that was it. Like, I didn't think much of it. And then, I guess I used the word new.
It was your caption, I think.
New normal, yeah.
Yeah, so the thing is, he posted a picture of her looking up at the camera, like smiling beneath her mask. There's no mandate everything changed yesterday. So prior to that in Aruba, there's been no even talk about masks. We don't see any locals wearing masks. No mandate, no conversations about it at all. I feel like in the States, the mask conversation is so unbelievably huge, but the rest of the world, everyone is a little calmer about it. And Aruba hasn't had any cases. We've been like a safe haven. Everything, we've had zero cases for like 2 months, and then they opened the borders, and then we started having some tourists that came in with cases, but they kept saying that they're tested upon entry, and that if anyone has it, they are pulled straight into quarantine, so that to not worry.
We can get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, but then you posted that photo.
I posted it because
with a caption.
The new normal, because that's the word that I keep hearing everywhere. You keep hearing the new normal. Like you're on the radio, the new normal, you're there, the new normal. That's what I guess.
But it wasn't like you think that this is the new normal. Like she's going to have to wear a mask everywhere she goes for the rest of her life.
No, but for me, the new normal means the unknown. We don't know what the fuck is happening. And then at that time, we had zero cases. Like there was anything. We just needed to get in to get my package from FedEx.
And you were like, "Was it. This is a cute little post for me to
and
share.
And it was a literal, like a 30-second post. Took the picture, fast, like the new normal in my pocket. Mm-hmm. And then we went on.
And then you
on.
Didn't look at it again because you're not that kind of guy.
Yeah. So I guess people didn't like it.
People got really upset because, well, obviously the mask controversy. I feel like there's two types of people right now. There's people who only talk about 5G, flat earth, pedophilia, sex trafficking. Like that's like a group of people. vaccinations.
They're separate groups of people, I would say.
But then there is the, you know, and they're kind of the anti-maskers, like, don't make me do things with my body that I don't want to do. Actually, I don't know. There's like anti-maskers on all sides. There's a lot of pro-Trump, non-conspiracy people who just don't, Let's not get into the labels of things, but
there's... I would say a lot of people would have their points, and they're like legitimate points. Except for the flat earthers, I'm sorry. But
did you read that meme? Someone like posted in the Flat Earth Facebook group, has anyone fallen off the edge yet? Or something like that, because everyone is so on edge.
But anyway, it's...
I have not even looked into the flat earth thing. I have not watched... it's a real thing that people... Like, it's a real thing that people believe the earth is flat. I have not... I don't know why.
We don't have to get into this.
Like I'm interested.
If only
in
we
this.
Had people in space taking picture of the, you know, of Earth to show that it's round.
I'm also really open to the idea that, like, I don't trust the government. Like 100%. Like I don't trust government as a construct. I don't think that, you know, we can trust in all the politicians and in everything that they tell us. Absolutely not. Especially in terms of, like, when it comes to health and when it comes to all the shit they put in our food, when it comes to animal agriculture and factory farming and all this shit. We know how much corruption is involved in terms of money and big pharma and all this stuff. Like, I don't trust everything the government tells me. And I think it's healthy to have, like, you know, some sort of discernment for yourself, right? Does this, like, we can choose, like, hey, do we want to feed our kids animal products? Do we want to, like, does it feel good that our water is filled with all of these sorts of chemicals? Like, should we, you know, even though everyone tells us it's fine, it's healthy, drink your milk, it's full of calcium. And then we all know that, like, cow's milk is shit, right? So there's one point to that, I think, where it's okay. We shouldn't all be sheep.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a lot of categories into one statement. But yeah, in certain ways, I don't trust the government either. In certain ways, I really trust the government as well.
Yeah, you can be both. But I think practicing some sort of discernment for yourself is important. But then there are things like, and I really do agree that, you know, people say that it hasn't been proven that the masks work. But okay, if there is a risk, like, the slightest risk that putting on a damn mask when you go to the grocery store actually can end this pandemic sooner, then put on a fucking mask. Like, it's not a big deal. It's not the end of the world. We don't have to act like this is like the worst thing ever. But then at the same time, like yesterday, we got an email from Leia's new school. She's starting a Montessori school on Monday. We've been excited about this for months. I mean, literally, she's freaking out with excitement to go to Montessori. Her teacher has like sent her a handwritten letter through the post office, like through the mail service in Aruba, which like doesn't work at all, that she's so excited to see her. We've done visits to the school. She's like, you know, asking us to make vegan variations of their baking because they bake and cook every day in school. She made a home visit. Like, it's so wonderful and so amazing and super organic, and they're in the outside and planting trees, and it's like so amazing. And then now we got an email yesterday saying that the teachers all have to wear masks now, most likely, and that we should start getting the kids used to wearing masks, because there might be a scenario later in the year where the kids have to wear masks at school. And immediately my gut reaction is, oh, she's not going to school then. Like, the thought for her to have to breathe into a mask all day, and she's 3 years old, she doesn't have to go to school right now. We have that luxury to choose. I guess if she was 12, it would be a different thing. That gut reaction, no, that's not okay with me at all. And then I had to sit with that, like, hey, but I'm like a pro mask. Everyone should be responsible, but I also don't feel good sending my 3-year-old with a mask to school for hours on end, 5 days a week.
And this is where I go with the new normal being the unknown.
Being like the unknown, yeah. And everything is such a controversy. I mean, everything is a controversy because everyone is on edge, not just flat earthers, like everybody. So on that post, you know, you had like 700 really angry. Someone wrote like, I cannot believe you're abusing your child in this way. This is child abuse. And then, of course, the comment section went straight to hell from there. But I kind of understand how, like, we were also in this privileged place of like, in Aruba, this is not a big deal. And then everyone, it's like, if we had to really sit with the fact that, hey, maybe for our kid to return to school, they're going to have to sit in a freaking plastic box, you know, for a year. Like, that's, I get that that's painful to think about and a huge controversy and, you know, so.
Or they have to be schooled through a Zoom conference and thing, and then
one
can go to work.
Yeah, homeschool your kids. Like I don't know where this is going
to
go.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
Let's talk a little bit about like what the situation here now, because things are not good anymore.
So yeah.
Things are bad.
Aruba had, or to come to Aruba, the borders has been open for 2 or 3 weeks now.
Two weeks.
So to come to Aruba, you need a negative test to show that when you come upon arrival to let the...
72 hours minimum prior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you make your test at home, or they do it at the airport for you, and then you get the same night you get the results back.
But I think at the airport, they only do it if you have symptoms or if you ask, like you feel like you're not...
You pay for it, you ask for it, yeah.
And so it's not everyone. People can just...
No, but if you don't have a negative test result, like if you don't have the test result, you can get in.
But they can take the test 3 days before and then hang out with a bunch of people, go to a party, and then maybe get it at the airport, maybe get it on the plane, and then...
So yeah, we had like 9 cases of tourists, and then I guess they went back.
Two pilots, yeah.
Yeah, and then it was 4 for the longest time. I guess they're in self-isolation here in some Airbnb. But and then all of a sudden, like, I don't know if we had a false negative or one of them leaked or someone came from abroad, but a local at a nightclub had it. And they're calling him the patient zero.
That's so messed up. There's no local that's patient zero because Aruba had no cases.
Yeah, but
we
anyway,
know it's a fucking tourist. So the story is that there's two people.
It could be a local from abroad that got it from abroad and brought it back as well.
We know it's not a local. Like, this is the thing. This is why this is such a big conversation now, because they shouldn't have opened the borders to the US. If they hadn't done that, we wouldn't be here now.
That's where I highly disagree.
Oh my God. Well, I get that had to happen and whatnot. But the story is that there was two tourists who took a test at the airport, and that they were told you have to wait 24 hours, self-isolate until you get the results. And they didn't. And instead, they went straight into the center of the nightlife in Aruba, which is, you know, we haven't had any cases for 2 months. So the nightclubs are open, bars are open. There are social distancing-ish rules, but not in the bars and stuff like that. People have been there
dancing, partying.
If you're sitting down at a restaurant, they have more space between tables. And I think staff has to, like, you know, there's no mask mandate. They have to use hand sanitizer. It's like not even a lot. And they didn't do the self-isolation, went partying and infected one person who is a local at the nightclub or more. Like, it's impossible to say.
And then it just went all over.
Obviously, because it was a nightclub worker, like a bartender, where everyone has been congregating and partying. And
you don't get the symptoms. You don't know. So you're just going about your day as normal. And then...
And we have now a few friends who have it. Or people, a lot of people we know who have it.
A lot of people that did the test that didn't get the results yet.
Yeah.
So it just went from like...
No cases to 100 in a day.
Yeah. It went to like 5 and then it went to 50 yesterday. And I think today we're going to end up like at 100 or 150 because all the results, like they're doing like a wide testing now for that hotspot in the tourist center.
So that's like where, and they said anyone who was in Palm Beach area of Aruba, which is our center for entertainment, for restaurants, for everything, between July 28th and August 3rd, go get
July
tested.
July 17th.
17th? Fuck you. No. That's thousands of people. What do you mean?
That's why no one can get tested now. They're only testing the workers. Like, everyone is completely busy. Anyway, going back to where I disagree with you about not opening the borders, like 90% of Aruba GDP is upon tourism. That means that if the borders are not open, there is no way of us making money. And that will come into like a massive catastrophic, like people will start stealing and stuff. Right now, there's not been any issues. It's because we've been getting money from the Netherlands for everyone to get their salary paid through the government.
Part of their salary.
Like 60% of their salary.
Not everybody. Like, you have to apply, go through a rigorous process. We have a lot of friends who didn't get any support.
Majority of the people who had a job, a normal job, would get this. We don't get the support because we're business owners.
We don't need the support.
Yeah. We don't need the support either right now. But it's like majority of people. And this is why there is no issues literally on the island, even though there's tension. But as soon as like
We haven't had any looting or rising crime. Everything's been calm.
Yeah, we might have 2 more months of this support. And after these 2 months, then you know, then I will get really scared.
But I don't understand why. Like, we have tourists coming from a lot of other places. Why? Because the U.S. was getting, if they could have kept the borders open March, April, May, the U.S. wasn't so bad then. And now it's like worse, 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 worse. The worst time to open to the U.S. They have like 10,000 new cases a day in Florida. And we are like 2 hours from Florida, from New York, from the East Coast. Everyone is coming here now. And it's like Aruba is the easiest choice. Like, oh, finally, I can travel a little bit. And then, you know, of course, people are
sick.
In
March, no one knew what was happening. No, it was just
doomsday.
But it
felt like a bad, bad time.
Yeah.
To like, they could have focused on Canada, focused on South America, focused on Europe.
Easier said than done, Nishi.
Yeah, I know. But I
think this is what the whole world is struggling with.
Of course, yeah.
And this is why there's a lot of places open, because they know they can't, the government can't afford to pay these people.
Yeah, but it's also like show, and it's kind of like the theme for the whole year is that all the problems and issues and wounds and, you know, bad things that have been festering under the surface, everything is coming up. Like all the things that haven't been working, it's everything surfacing and falling apart in front of our eyes. And I think the whole system of Aruba, the fact that Aruba isn't a self-sustaining island, that Aruba caters majority to people who come here visiting temporarily and then some sort of exploits the island and then leaves, Aruba could have a totally different economy that focuses more on the local community, right? Where it's like lifting the locals up and having an economy that thrives around the local population. And now it's just evident that that's not the case.
We're such a small community.
Yeah, it would be so easy to change.
It's not.
Yeah, I think so. Because it's so small, I think it would be so easy. We already saw so much change over these past couple of months in terms of how locals are spending their money, how they're interacting. Like at the studio, we have never in our lives been so busy with locals. All of a sudden, we have this like huge, like beautiful, when we were able to open the doors again, community of dedicated locals who are there every day, who are making friends, who never knew each other before, who show up for every class, like diehard people. And that wasn't the case when we were full of tourists, because people felt like they didn't belong the same way.
I agree with you that completely. It's beautiful.
And that's everywhere.
It's everywhere. But this also has to do that these are all money being spent that is being loaned from the Netherlands.
I know, that's fucked up.
If you don't have the money to put into the economy, we won't have those locals coming in and spending their money. So this, it's like vicious
a bad cycle. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we don't have to go into that discussion because everyone that's
change it. But so now the thing that happened was that for me personally, I've felt safe. And I was trying to kind of dissect all my fears. Like, what is it that I'm actually, am I scared that we're going to get corona and die? Like, no, that's not, it's just this feeling of things were getting every day a little more normal or feeling more stable. Studios doing better. The thought of like, maybe we have two employees left in Aruba. We've lost everybody. Maybe, what do you mean three? Oh, three. Okay. With the cafe. But now we had to close the cafe again. And then, you know, we have our employees on part, like a lower salary. Maybe we can bring their salary back up to normal. Like we had that conversation 2 days ago. How can we get their salary back to 100%? Like, let's fight to make this happen. And then now it looks like we're going to have to close the studio and we don't know if anyone's going to be able to keep their jobs. Like, what the fuck? So that feeling is like that fear of like we're starting this whole thing over again. And then, of course, knowing that, you know, we have friends now who tested positive. And like a really close friend of ours tested positive.
Don't
and
we're even like, have any symptoms.
No symptoms. We saw him. We had to like go back yesterday. Like, wait, did we see him in the past 2 weeks? When was that? And no, it was like a month ago we saw him. So that we haven't seen anyone that we know has corona. But then we're 1 degree of separation away from everybody. So now we find out that someone who tested positive has been spending everyday time with someone who's a parent of the kids that goes to school with Leia. It's like wherever we look, there's someone who...
We don't know that.
No, but wherever we look, there's a potential of, yeah.
The island is very small and everybody knows each other. Everybody is cousins with each other. Right. Everybody is like...
But so in a way, it's like if all of these people and everyone we've spoken to so far has been completely asymptomatic. Everyone. I don't know anyone who's been sick, who's even had like flu-ish symptoms. So one of them had like a little sniffles, like a little bit of a runny nose, which I have all the time. Like allergies and stuff. And two of them had a complete loss of taste and smell, which to me sounds like, okay, well, we can deal with that. So in one way, it's like, okay, if a lot of us get it, let's let herd immunity do its thing. And eventually we can get back to some sort of normal. But it's also really scary because if you're asymptomatic and you're spending time with immunocompromised people or people who have older parents. And yeah, that's really...
That's what the issue is.
That's what the issue is, yeah.
It's like... Even though the percentage is maybe 99 point something percent of people, because a lot of people that got it didn't even get tested. They got it and they don't even know they had it. And it's okay, but then you have like the people that are compromised, and it's what their lives don't matter. It's like their lives is like, we'll just sacrifice them. That's also not fair, you know? No. And that's what the issue is. That's why it's so hard. That's why it's like a big part of me thinks it's like, oh, it's like chicken pox. When we were little, all of us got chicken pox and we dealt with it.
You have chicken pox party. Yeah. And like, oh, someone has it. Let's all get together, sit in the bathtub together.
Get it over with. Yeah.
And now everyone's like, chicken pox is going to kill you. Make sure you get the
but
vaccine.
No, yeah, that's the thing. No one else. I don't see kids getting chicken pox anymore. It's not like a thing like when we were little. So I don't know if it's like the vaccine or if it's like it got...
Well, the chicken pox conversation is a whole conversation.
We don't have to go into it.
When the vaccine was introduced, it was already...
But anyway, do we have a lot of questions or are we still on corona?
But so what do you think is going to... Like, where are we going? Like, your mom, you spoke to your mom yesterday. Your mom works at the hospital. Now there's like a panic at the hospital. There's like a frontline feeling, which we never had even.
Yeah.
And what I want to share for people to understand, because if you're in the States or you're somewhere where it's bad... Having 100 cases in a day probably sounds like a great thing, like low, like nothing. For us, in the peak of pandemic time, we never crossed the 100 people mark.
We were like at 100.
We were like at 99, 98, something like that. And that was peak of panic. So for us now to go from no cases and then in a day we have 100, it's like panic on this island. Like we only have, you know, it's a very, very small community and everyone is sort of struggling already. But so what do you think is going to, like, do you have a... Yeah, do you have a take on this?
One day I go like, let's herd immunity, let's just get the shit over with, let's hope that it's a thing that you can get once and you don't get it again. You create the antibodies for it, and then at the other time I'm like, you know, fuck, let's try to protect the public as much as possible. But then it comes like my mind spins out of control. Like, okay, if we defend everyone and we flatten the curve, and then we have to go through this for a couple of years.
Right? Is it going to be forever? That's also the thing.
Like, but then I worry about the economy really bad.
Yeah,
because
really, really bad.
People are gonna suffer. People are gonna like mental depression. People are gonna like.
No, there was a study released yesterday that I can't remember from what hospital that said that the mental health issues, especially in women, are expected to last for 5 to 10 years after the pandemic has actually ended, because there's so much fear, so much panic, so much insecurity, and you know, and it's kind of like it's just a fact. You can't heal from a trauma when the trauma is ongoing, and right, this is something that it's like it doesn't feel like a trauma anymore because everyone is experiencing it all the time. But it is.
But I mean, if the world is closed, or if you don't have the same outlets, if you don't have the same services as normal,
right,
that means that people with mental health issues are not going to have the options to go through it like they had prior to pandemic.
Because a lot of people didn't even have it prior to the pandemic because it's, you know.
It gets worse. And then with child abuse as well, like if everything is closed and now everyone is home, like the parents are home and the abuse is more prominent.
Yeah, everything is worse. Alcoholism is worse. Like all the things that people were struggling with before.
And then you want to put it into balance to see what is worse. Like
in terms of that, I mean, we got a lot of questions about that in terms of like our relationship and dealing with quarantine. Like we spend so much time together as is.
We had a great time.
We did have a great time.
Yeah, we built a garden. I built a couple of fences. I have a wood shop now.
You have a wood shop now. Like there's a lot of, and I was making, it was like a joke, not a joke. I was like, hey, take me back to, I had a moment yesterday. I was teaching yoga in the morning. Normally we have 52 people in class. So I'm used, and I know I'm super blessed and privileged in this area, but I when you've only been teaching full classes for a decade, going down to teaching a handful of people feels like failure, or it feels like, man. And also knowing the looking of like what the studio needs every day to even break even, to get out of this hole. And now we used to have 18 people was like the new standards in the class to have more space. And then they went to 15, and now we can have like 11. And I walk in and it's so empty, the shala, and it smells like Clorox and Lysol. We used to have this natural, you know, vinegar and essential oil kind of like lavender cleaner for the mats. Palo Santo and, you know, incense in there. And now you walk in and it smells like fucking Lysol. And I had this moment of like, I don't want to be here. Like, I don't want this reality. I'm, you know, grateful that these 11 people are here. And, you know I have a role to play in helping them through their day. And it's like a big, big, big thing that we can even have the studio open. So I'm anchored in that gratitude. But at the same time, like permission to complain, like permission to not just be grateful for the things that are good, but to also fucking lose it at times because it sucks. And I think we can't just walk around with all the blessings and all the gratitude. And yes, you know, at least we still have a studio. Like a lot of people lost everything. Permission to complain. It's like we have to be able to vent about the shit that is bad and hard. And yesterday I had that day of like, man, like I don't even want to, oh, like I can't even deal. And I don't think, I think the panic is, or the fear, the biggest fear for me is that it's not going to be over by this year. Like I kind of thought end of the year things are going to look up, and then, you know, maybe sometime next year things are will be a new normal. Maybe now what if, you know, we can't sit in a circle again? What if forever now, or for the next decade or whatever, people are going to have this distance and this fear? It was already hard for people to be vulnerable with each other. It was already hard for people to be intimate, to be real, to do this practice in that sincere way. And now we have this, you know, what if forever we don't, like, we're not close anymore. That for me is just a huge fucking panic. And I know a lot of great things happened this year from slowing down. Like, it's been a huge blessing. And what I shared on Instagram, which was like a joke because I had that shitty day, like, take me back to 2019. I don't want to go back to 2019. 2019 sucked. 2020 sucked too, but it's bringing about also some good things. So I'd rather fast forward to bring me 2021 when things are like, okay, I guess. I don't know.
The new normal.
The new normal. Stop saying that.
People you are don't know. Nobody knows. That's what the fucking problem is.
That is what the fucking problem is. We've also contemplated like buying, like pooling everything we have and then buying a farm somewhere in Costa Rica and creating a commune.
What's this wee bullshit you keep talking about?
We talk about that all the time.
We talked about buying a surf shack in Costa Rica, not a commune.
No, we wouldn't buy a commune. You'd buy the land and then you create the commune, like a little permaculture farm, you know, get all your friends,
what
people that
been
you love.
What I've sold is about me surfing every day, being right, very close to the ocean.
I have a different plan than that. But like a little backup, spot for safety. I don't know. Do you think the world will end? Do you think it will get worse? Okay, that's an interesting question. You think it's going to get worse, or is this the worst?
I don't know, man. Every time I think it's the worst, like I get surprised that it can get even worse. You get used to it. You get used to you get used to like it being so bad that you're like, oh, this is okay.
This is okay, I guess.
And then bam, it gets even worse.
We haven't personally lost anyone from Corona. I hope that doesn't happen ever. Yeah. And the studio is still open. Do you think the studio will be open in a week?
I don't know. This is the week that we're going to find out everything. It's probably going to be open for the next 2 to 3 days for sure. But then after that, if the cases go high, I really hope we don't go into full lockdown again, because I don't think we can handle it. It seemed very hard already to get like the loan that the island got the last time for the whole island. Mm. So I don't see any positives coming from a lockdown.
Mm-mm. I have no answers either.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Do we have a bunch of questions or no?
Okay, so someone was asking if we have any advice for, this is a funny question, if we have any advice for other couples trying to make it through quarantine, making it through lockdown.
Yeah, that's something I can't give.
What's been the most helpful thing for you then? Like, what's something that you feel?
Because even in lockdown, we are allowed to go for a run on the North Shore, or I'm allowed to go biking on the street, or I'm allowed to go, you know, surfing. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair if you compare it to people in the cities that gets 1 hour a day to go out. Like, I guess in Chile, they get like 1 or 2 hours designated to go out and walk and do like exercise. And they live in like little apartments and stuff. So I think for everyone in different countries, it's like a different situation. Mm. I think we're the worst people to give that advice because we have been very lucky and blessed that we still, even though it's a lockdown and everything was closed at that time, we were still able to do some kind of movement for mental health.
And that's been a saving grace for you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so now that everything happened and I told Anna, okay, we're back to isolation. Like, Leia had her 2 last days of daycare this week, Thursday and Friday, before she starts Montessori on Monday. And then we took her out of daycare. I told her teacher yesterday, no, with all the new cases, we're going to stay home. And her teacher cried.
Yeah.
Because I think it was...
She wasn't mentally prepared.
She wasn't mentally prepared. And to say bye to Loonies and her last 2 days, maybe she had special things planned for her. There's just a lot of like little sad moments like that. But, and then I told you, okay, so like we're back to isolating. And I think for you, the idea of not going mountain biking every Wednesday and going road biking every Sunday, I think you would not be so okay.
No, I just got out of that.
Yeah.
I just got out of like not doing anything for 2 months.
Right.
And
not moving your body at all.
Not moving my body.
Not running, not biking.
Yeah, not feeling so good in my body. And then I finally got back to that rhythm that I'm feeling good in my body again. And then you want to bring that shit up on me.
No, I just need you to not like go to the bar and drink beer after mountain biking. Just go mountain biking and then come home.
We drink beer by the cars.
No congregation.
No, just tailgating.
You can't congregate, you can tailgate. Oh God, yeah. No, I think it's going to be, yeah, I think for everybody, you know, for everybody listening, everyone who's in a relationship, who's with their spouse, with their partner, first of all, I think a daily reminder of the gratitude of being able to share this experience with another person. Imagine, like, there's a lot of single parents out there who've been alone with a kid all throughout this time. I mean, there's a lot of single people who are super happy to be
stuck in a little apartment in some city.
There's people who are super happy to be single. I'm so glad I'm not sharing that. You know, it's so individual for everybody. But there's a lot of people who are super lonely.
Yeah.
We did a sharing circle yesterday with our YTT group, with our yoga teacher training graduates. And a lot of them were sharing, like, I didn't know how lonely I've been until just now. Like, having this opportunity to share and be vulnerable and cry and feel like a part of the whole and have this community feeling again. We need to do it more often. So I think, you know, gratitude for having someone to share the experience with, having someone to talk to, having someone to hold your hand all throughout. Like, you and I are really good at supporting each other throughout the hard things and celebrating the good things, and someone to sit on the couch with and drink old fashions like you and I did for the whole first
bourbon
2 months. That was like, oh God, that was, yeah, let's not go back to that. So that's one important thing. And then I think, you know, having that space to yourself at the same time is really important. Like me doing dynamic meditation every day alone or practicing or whatever I've been doing, you having your time to bike or you know, like when you weren't doing that, you weren't feeling so good. It's like, we need to move our bodies in some shape or form. So taking care of ourselves is still the best way to take care of our relationship, I think. And then that communication, like permission to vent, permission to... I think it's good to have that roller coaster of one person being down and then the other person can kind of run the show a little bit and then taking turns so that there's not just one person carrying the weight of everything.
Yeah.
And I feel you and I, what we do well is we have a good balance there, you know, like you'll have a shitty week and then I'll step up and then I'll have a shitty week and then you'll step up and then,
yeah.
And then the feeling when we both have a good week is kind of good. Yeah.
I got some questions about my glasses. And about pooping.
That doesn't relate to anything. Okay, so whenever I have guests on the show, which I do sometimes, I mean, I don't always have people as distinguished and special as you, but I like to close by asking the person how we can all be of service to them. How can everybody listening, how can they be of service to you? Like, do you have a need? Do you have a wish for the world?
I don't understand that question at all. Of being of service.
Like, how can we serve you? How can we help you? Like, what do you have a need that needs to be met? Do you have an ask for the world that you would like them all to think about or do? Or
no.
Just answer the question. What do you mean?
I'm not selling anything. Is this where I'm supposed to plug something?
Yes, Sometimes people either usually plug something like themselves or their website or their product or whatever, or they have like an ask of the world, like, you know, take really good care of yourself or wear a mask or, you know, do you have a, like, how can we be of service to you?
You do you.
What the fuck does that mean?
You do you. Be selfish for a, if you're not selfish, be selfish. I guess that's the only advice I can give.
That is terrible advice right now. What do you mean? All the people who were hating on your mask post are going to come back again, because that's what people do. They don't want to wear a mask because they're selfish. And now you're telling them to be selfish. Do you mean like take good care of yourself?
Take care of yourself before taking care of others, I guess.
That's a good one. That's your Aries sun and your Leo rising, they both agree with that.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, that's
thank you for that.
If you want to plug something, you can tell people to go to yogagirl.com and practice yoga with us.
Oh, and please, also that. If you happen to go on our website, yogagirl.com, and you're doing all the live classes, I'm sorry for all the static noise in the mic. I'm really trying to figure it out. I don't know how to figure it out.
So if you don't know, Dennis is, he's our production manager. He's our cameraman. He's our editor. What other roles do you have? He's our sound guy.
I'm losing
he's
so
our technician.
Much here. There's always something wrong, especially with the lives. It's either the internet is fucked up or the sound is fucked up there's always something.
Every Monday, 10 a.m., we have a class and it's four cameras and Dennis is operating them on his own. And the last 3 weeks, we've had some sort of technical issue. We've had like 6 months of amazing live content. You're fucking killing it.
And then all of a sudden, I don't understand why.
I think it's something astrological. Don't worry, it will pass. You're doing a great job. Honestly, I love working with you. I love teaching the classes and you filming and not having anybody else in the room. We're not fighting. You get on edge every time.
Dude, I freak out.
You're about to fall off the edge of the earth. You're doing fantastic. I think, really, really think so. So everyone, if you haven't practiced with us, go to yogagirl.com. We have live classes like once or twice a week. We have sharing circles to find community and to be able to open your heart and vent. And then we have regular classes and meditations and yoga classes as well. But every Monday, Dennis is behind the scenes creating all the magic for us. And we're all very, very grateful for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You want to go eat some breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. The Yoga Girl podcast will be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and a huge thank you to my husband, Dennis, for joining me on the show. If you enjoy the show, be sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. You can find all of them on yogagirl.com, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you normally get your shows. Don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Thanks to the folks at Cadence 13 for their production work, and of course, thanks to my sponsors. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I'll see you next week.